We're in lesson 93 in the book of Ephesians, and we left off with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and was breaking some things down. You'd be turning to Ephesians chapter 6. If you remember that little list I gave you last lesson about eight different things that Paul talks about, eight different levels of government authority. And the principality, the power, mights, dominions, thrones, dominions, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual weaknesses, and every name that is named. There's different levels of government there. And Paul tends to tell us that. And we left off with, about to end with, I think it was principalities. And we got to know that a principality is the top ruler. And it's like the supreme territory, a supreme commander in a territory. And we looked at Michael coming down and all. But you know the universe, if you think about it, where does it talk about 420 elders up in the universe? You're up where God is, okay? Okay, right where?
Third heaven.
Okay, up there. So there's 420 elders. How many is that?
24.
How many hours is in a day?
24.
You believe that?
Yeah.
You know that to be a fact?
Seems to be.
Okay. You've been taught that. But anyway, there's, you know, you think about each one of those people, I believe, is over a time zone, an hour. Okay? And that is a principality that is a ruler over things. Now, how many hours is in a day? How many hours is in a night? Oh, got you there, didn't I? Okay? Lord Jesus Christ says there's 12 hours in a day, right? So that means they're 12 hours a night. Now, if you think about those spears and the commandments, their supreme commanders will compare with the 420 elders. I looked at, where was that at? Well, we'll get to it a little bit. There's 420 elders that David names as commanders here on this earth. But Revelation 4 talks about 420 elders. And the number 12 in the Bible is also a number associated with who?
Israel.
You know that to be a fact, right? The 12 Israel, or 12 number. And that is also a number of a government of perfection. If you want to see, that's why, how many jurors usually are they?
12.
Yeah. See, that, so you think about all that stuff. And Israel is that number. And Israel's nation that produced a government perfection on this earth. That's why God put them out there. And each one of those tribes has a function, or will have a function, over one, let's put it this way. Each tribe will have a function over one of the 12 divisions in the earth. And the 12 divisions in the earth and this kingdom, and Deuteronomy 32:8 says that he's going to divide the earth up according to the number of children. So you have the earth, the focus is on the earth, and he's going to divide to number of children. What would that be? How many children did Jacob have?
12.
So there are going to be 12 authorities in this earth, sections in this earth. You don't have to believe this, but I believe it to be true because God is a governmental structure God. He puts this stuff together. And each one of those tribes will have a section to rule over. And each one of those tribes will have one of the 12 apostles ruling over them. You know that. He gave them authority, didn't he? And he says, you'll rule over the 12 tribes. That's why it's important when to understand when he sets up the kingdom on David's throne, Jesus Christ sits on it 1,000 years, then the 12, what? Apostles, then the 12 tribes, and they will be governing 12 sections in the earth. And who is going to be in those sections of the earth?
Nation Israel.
Not only nation Israel, but who? The people that's on the earth. You know, the Gentiles that didn't take it up in the body of Christ. So, you think about that, and the manner of the structure of the heavens. So I have to think of the fact that when God made the tabernacle and made the earth, it's a pattern of what the heaven was. So you can see a mirror image of what God is doing in the heaven as what he's doing on this earth. But his function is to rule over that area. And each one of those positions in the heavenlies is a principality. Okay? There's sections up there for just like the earth. We may not understand that right now because we're mainly focused on the earth. But one of those areas in the book of Daniel was called the Prince of Persia. Remember, we looked at that last lesson. And the other one was called the Prince of who? Grisa. So there's already principalities there. So that's principalities. The next term is power. And you know the term from Romans 13:1. It says the powers that be ordained of God. What he's talking about here, he's talking about government. Okay? He's talking about the government that was ordained by God. We know the people in it's not. Would you agree or disagree? You know, we've had some bad rulers over the years. In my lifetime, we had some good rulers over here. We had some good mayors and stuff, and we had some bad mayors. But he's talking about government. And when you understand the word power is in several different ways. If you can pick up 150 pounds or 200 pounds, would you think, well, he's got some power? You know, he's got power to pick that up, right? If you think about that, you think about his ability to pick it up. You also give someone the power of what? When somebody dies or you want them to have over your estate. Power of attorney. What does that mean? He has a power to act in whose behalf? In your behalf. And you have the power to go and get, you know, $100 out of the bank. If we got $100 in the bank, you know what I mean? You have that power to do that. So it's but this is a different question. The Greek word, and I can't pronounce it, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, excousia. I got you on that because many of you don't know Greek. But that means the authority aspect. It's not so much the physical powerness, but it's the authority, the power of that. And the word has to do with the delegated authority. We're looking over those eight things that we left off with, okay? So just bear with me because it's very, very important to understand why he talks about principalities and powers and mights and thrones. Some of you may not say, oh, whatever, but I need to know this because that's what I'm fighting against. And once you, that's what you're fighting against. And the word has to do with authority. Remember back in Luke chapter 4, verse 6. You're there from your notes. I know you are. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. You got to remember chapter 4 of Luke is a dispensational issue. And verse 3, it says, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they may be made bread." Now, could the Lord Jesus Christ demand those stones to be made bread?
Yes.
He does that when he feeds them over in Revelation. Okay? It's not an issue. It's a dispensational issue. It's not that he can't do it. And he says, and Jesus answered him saying, "It is written." Now, you think Jesus was a word guy?
Yeah.
You know over in Revelation when he comes down with fire in his eyes, there's a word, there's a name written on his thigh. And you know what it means? The Word of God. He is a word man. And that's why we should be word men. We not should be emotional driven. We shouldn't be, you know, smoke and mirrors division. It's words. He said it is written. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of what? God. Then he says, "And the devil taking him up on a high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power." Now what kind of power are we talking about here?
Ruling.
Authority. Okay? Power. Not so, hey, make it rain. Make it thunder. Make it... No, that's power. But he says, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever that I will give it." The issue is there is to delegate authority. Satan had the power, the principality to say, I can give it to you. You think he has that today? It ain't changed. Lord Jesus Christ ain't sitting on no kingdom yet. You with me? So he's the God of this world, guys, and the principality of the air. And that is the word power is in Ephesians that we're looking at. The word power is to use a delegated authority. This is the supreme commander. Then this is the office corps underneath him and the people to whom the top God delegates authority to act in his stead. See the power structure going down? Principalities, powers. This is power. He can delegate these things. Very, very important to know. The next word we're looking at is might. We use the word dynamite. You know, it's power. It's might. And that does not mean I have the power to blow away anything like a mountain. Move. Blow this mountain away. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about it has to do with performing and being able to pick up that weight. And it's not just the right to do it, it's the able to perform it. There's not one of us in here couldn't pick up 100 pounds. You can do it. Those children could do it. But you got to have might, right? They could work together. I watched a video the other day, guy set a record. 1,000-some-odd pounds. And he was like this. And he was like, you know, getting himself psyched up. He walked up to that bar, and you're talking about 500-some pounds on each of that bar. And that bar goes like this. I looked at his feet. You know what he had on?
No shoes.
Socks. If you ever want to pick up something, you go barefoot. Not barefoot on a set of gravels. You know, you're going to jump to high heavens. But your feet is flat. And when your toes go like that, it balances you. That's why if you look at some people with different shoes, they got these designated shoes for this stuff, and they're a little wider in the front. So when you're weightlifting, you want to be barefoot. Remember the old Converses?
Yeah.
Remember how flat they were? They have no arch support. They are flatter than a flitter. And first time I went CrossFit, I got to share this with you. 3 weeks into it, we're doing a Murph where you had to run a mile, come back and do all this stuff. I'm running in Converses. And my shins were splintered. You know how it feels? I mean, literally, no cut, and bam, 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 bam. It took me a long time to get over that. But you know what my coach said? Them were good lifting shoes. And they were. You got to be flat. But it's ability, a power, and it has to do with the capacity to get the job done. See, each one of us has the might to get things done. We may want to delegate that might. I'd much rather had somebody put my rotors on yesterday and brake shoes. Because by the time we got on the other one, I broke that screw off inside of it because it was frozen. It wasn't working right. I wish I had the might to just pick this thing up and just get rid of it. Or had the might say, hey, will you take care of it? But I didn't. So what I had to do, I had to make some phone calls. You got this part, you got this part, you got this part. Drive to it, get it, put it on. Easy peasy. But you had the top ruler, then you had the office corps, and then you have the enforcement agency. That's what this is. I have the might to do this. And the enforcement agency is a part of the government that makes sure the laws and desires the first two positions as executed. We have a police force, don't we? That's a might. They have the power to execute what the people told them to do. The law was an enforcement in times past, right? But think about that for a second. You have might. We would call, well, and if you're in military, you call them military police. If you're not, you call them city police, state troopers, that type of thing. I look at a state trooper up here, then a county, and then a city. I look at that designated, but they still have mites. They still have power. We would call the people that go around to make sure that things are done the way they're supposed to be. Their armies in heavens would fall under this category. The enforcement agency. Remember the armies? There's going to be armies in heavens. They're there as mites. And they won't do anything until they're told what to do from above. And the commanders of armies who would fall under this category. The office corps that they have the might and the power gets the things done. Then you have thrones and dominions. And you understand that a throne is over a particular area, don't you? You know, do we have a throne here in the United States? We tend to do, but we don't call it a throne, really, do we? We call it what? The president. You know, that's where he sits. England has a throne. Saudi Arabia has a throne. Jordan has a throne. We know that what that is. And it's in one particular area and dominions over divisions under that area. And here you're getting down to a local application of things, a local government. You're getting involved in the structure of the way that things are done. In Luke 19, the Lord tells the tribulation saints this: if you have been faithful over much, I make you rulers over what? 10 cities, over 5 cities, and over 2 cities. And that kind of thing. This is what this authority dominion is. By the way, what's the number 10 in your Bible signify?
Tithe.
Well, if you know tithe, you know what 12 is, you know what 1 is, you know what 3 is, you know what 7 is. What is it?
Gentiles.
It's the number Gentiles. So he's going toward a Jewish guy, an Israelite that's been faithful. 10 Gentiles and 10 cities. You ever seen that verse over there that there's the 10 people will grab a coat of a Jew to walk into the kingdom? God, it's a tenth. God gives the nation Israel a portion of the Gentiles as a reward. You always thought you'd need to write 10% of your check when you come to church. See? It's a lot of remarkable things there. Believe me, it's not tithing money. It was goods. It's people. Thrones and dominions are referring to the breaking down of the powers as it goes down. You can think of our states, county, city, local government, how it breaks down. Then you had the rulers of the darkness of this world. And this is a very interesting idea. The Greek word kosmokrate, kosmokrator. I clicked on that word, and there's some satanistic music going on there. Whole, you know, different things. And you're like, whoa. And it's got this emblem of this, looks like wings and this dark hole and all that stuff. I'm like, they probably got that right. But the word means world rulers. And the idea of is an ambassadorship. We got ambassadors. You know what they do? They go out and represent the people of the ruling authority. The idea is that the emissaries, you know what that is? That represent one court before another court, and another court before another court, and back and forth. It's what we might call them, what, lawyers, maybe? Rulers of darkness? But it has to do with that. It has to do with embassies to the court that are ruling capacity of this world. It has to do with a diplomatic corps. If you think about those terms. There are people who go back and forth and do interchanging between the governments, kind of making peace. Spiritual of darkness, rulers. That's what rulers the darkness. And they are not responsible for stopping rebellion against this. That's not their job. They're deciding what the rules are, delegating people to take care of it, and they take care of those details. Rulers. They see something going on, they need, but they can't control it. And when he says rulers of darkness, this world, the darkness is referenced to the vehicle through which the satanic program operates. He don't work operate in light, does he? Who's supposed to be the light of the world? See? You don't even operate. Remember in Job? In Job 38:2 it says, who is this that darkened counsel by words without knowledge? Who is this that just shuts out the light by blabbering stuff and doesn't make sense about it? Human viewpoint, traditions, and that stuff. See? That darkness. It ain't worth nothing. And you keep people down. This is darkness, what he's talking about. We're not talking about turning off the lights, which would be dark. We're talking about spiritual darkness. Remember in Ephesians chapter 5, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children as what? Light. Verse 11 says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproof them. It's easy to fall in that darkness. We came out of that darkness. We hide in that darkness. If you remember Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's that darkness, that vehicle that keeps us there. You're dealing with that vehicle, a satanic operation here, where Satan blinds the minds of them that believe not. Hey, if your mind is blind, has it got light in it or darkness? It's dark. Shut your eyes for a minute, you can see how dark it is. But he opened up the light of the glorious gospel, came in and shined. So you're not in darkness no more. And that satanic hosts are not friendly, guys. They're not running smooth. It's not a well sewing machine. Like sometimes Christians think it is. Satan's kingdom is built on what?
Deception. Lies and deceptions.
Lies, deceptions, greed, pride. You look out there right now at some of these kingdoms of this world and these powers that's running out there, and you think, what are they operating on? Whatever they can get, right? They'll suck you dry to keep them happy. I watch some of these, and you have too, some of these preachers. I'll pick on them for a second. You know, they lied to people half their life and got riches of the world. They came in there and they built homes and got airplanes, you know, and fishing boats, you know, and all this stuff. And now what happens? People starting to find some truth out, and they're not pumping money in that system no more. And what are they doing? They're losing it. So what they did, they're trying to continue lies and begging. God's going to get you if you don't. And people buying into that foolishness, that darkness. Then every once in a while you might find one that's been in that all his life and he's about ready to kick the bucket. And he says, you know, all you got to do is trust Christ Jesus died for your sins. Plus nothing else. And I look at people like that sometimes. I'm like, why in the world didn't you tell them that to begin with? Greed, pride. That's in the religious system. So if a religious system's doing that, would you not think that the world system's doing that too? Hey, how many's got their house paid for? Some of you do. Got your house paid for. Fail to pay your taxes to see what they come after. You don't own that house. That's sad, isn't it? Greed. But you agreed to pay your taxes. You agreed to support a school system that some of us didn't even put our kids in for the rest of our lives. So, I'm not saying that to be ugly, so don't ruffle your feathers. But I'm just saying, you know, think about this greed. It is a kingdom of rebellion. You flare up, somebody else is going to flare up. We're going to put you down. We're going to put you down. Constant. That's what his thing is. It's a sinful creation. And you know what sin don't bring?
Peace.
You can't find peace in sin. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're sitting there like, wow, that was good. May I have another? May I have another? May I have another? May I have a? Satan's kingdom is not a peace and harmony, guys, but boy, don't they make it look pleasing. I think of our kids, you know, and our kids that's gone on before us, how we raised them. We raised them in a godly family, and soon they got out in that world went, and you're like, how in the world can they do that? They're kin to me. They're kin to her. They're hers. But, you know, mainly hers. But, you know, just joking, guys. But, you know, talk about that world is pleasing out there. And you watch them actors out there, those young actors, and you followed them and you enjoyed them. And then they get in this political stuff or, you know, and they're like, why you even open your mouth? I liked your movies. You know, and now I got to, how do I support that? You know, and then they turn and doing all that makeup stuff and all them shots in the face and all that stuff, and they look like walking corpse now. Mm-hmm. We're all going to die, aren't we? Mm-hmm. You know, we all, that type of thing. But that what's what that glamour goes. I watch my son, he goes, Dad, I'd like to go to Hollywood and become an actor. You know, comedian actor, like. And, you know, in his heart, I'm in my heart, I'm like, go for it. But I know what vicious. Hey, one of the guys that was at the reunion last week lives in downtown Los Angeles. He started a church in our hometown and then went out to Saddleback. And then he went to China and all this. Now he's living downtown L.A. And he told us, he said, you walk over literally dead people all the time. They're just there. You know, bums, whatever you want to call them, and they're still dead. Homeless, you know, drugs, whatever. And that's a city of angels? Lost angels. Yeah, there you go. Lost angels. But there's no peace in the... God says there's no peace for the wicked, saith our God. There's no peace in that. Temporal peace. And no matter what kind of front he puts on, the truth isn't there. You ever know sometimes people believe a lie before they believe the truth? Mm-hmm. There's people out there wanting that lie instead of the truth. I had a chance to sit down yesterday, not big trucking outfit, but I drive by when I go to the ranch, I'm looking over and he's got these nice trucks. These big old hood Kenworths, you know, big hooded 91, 99. And he fixes them up and he puts them on. And I'm looking at, every time I go by, I'm looking at them like, they look so good. I mean, that brings back, you know, when I first drove a truck, that's the type of truck I drove. And I said, I'm pulling in there. Shop wide open. Walked in there and mechanics in there and stuff. And I just said, you know, I'm interested in seeing about your driving job. Hang on a minute. Get Doug over here. Don't let him leave. Don't let him leave. Because he's got two tractors he needs drivers for. And so I'm sitting there, and he said, come on in the office. He's a couple years young. He went through the whole story. And he found out I'm a preacher. And, you know, we talked about salvation and all that stuff and what to expect. And he had a bad spill with religion. You know, it seemed like... But the thing is, everything he owned, he lost three times before. You know what I'm talking about? So you can build up this worldly things, and they'll come after, won't they? I know in my younger years, one time I could go in any bank, five banks in Abingdon, and what do you need, Mr. Yard? And I got greedy. Next thing you know, they wouldn't give Mr. Yard nothing. You know what I mean? Some of you been down that road, some of you have not been down that road, but it's greed. And that's the kingdom that Satan puts out there. You want, wasteful. I got to beat that down. Still today, I got to beat that down. I got to share this with you. Might make Sherry mad when she scraped the side of my paint job on my truck. She just gave me an opportunity to get rid of that truck. I'm going to get me another one. And she says, not. And I'm like, you know, there's really nothing wrong with this truck. You know what I mean? I got to beat it down. But if she would not have said nothing... That it gave me an opportunity to take that thing to a car lot and traded it out. Got me a bigger truck. Got me a real truck.
And it's got to have his toys.
Got to have his toys. But what is that? Greed sometimes. and all
wasteful
that.
Wasteful womb.
Wasteful womb. And these diplomats are going around trying to keep things in order, keep the fighting down, and that's what all that functions. That's what they're trying to do. Just keep it down, guys. Keep it down. We'll give it to you. You'll get your time. You know, all that stuff. You've seen that in the working world. You know, I watch drivers. I tell you what, it wouldn't pay me to be a manager sometime. You don't want to do it? Leave the keys. Get out of here. That's what, you know, because I don't baby people. I have in the past, but I watch managers not only spoon feed them, burp them, change their diapers. These are grown men. You've been down that road, I'm sure. All of us been that way. But I'm like, it wouldn't pay me to be that way. But would I just back up and say, hey, I understand where you're at. Let's talk. Chances are we would have. But it just kills me on some things. Look, then there's the spiritual weaknesses in high places. You're in Ephesians 6. You got Isaiah 24, I'm sure. Isaiah 24. We looked at this passage before. But he talks about spiritual weakness in high places. Isaiah 24, verse 21. In this passage, he's talking about the second advent of the Jesus Christ. And he says high places. He's talking about heavenly places. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord... Is that uppercase or lowercase?
Take
this job!
Talking about jobs. Did that do that before?
Oh, man. Well, hey.
She's got a mind of her own.
No, that's Siri. But look, the thing is, when I said what I would do, tell you hit the road, that's what you would tell me. So just take his job and shove it. You know, ain't worth it. Oh, well. Anyway. Yeah, there you go. I'm speaking in tongues in here. But look, he says, and it shall come to pass. Look, I'm glad you guys love me. Because you know what? You wouldn't get that in the traditional. Like, turn your cell phones off, right? Leave it. But anyway, I have to use that in another message one day.
Oh,
and it shall come to pass that in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high and the kings of the earth upon the earth. That's that heavenly places up there. And so when he talks about spiritual weakness in high places, he's talking about someone like a mayor. He's not talking about someone like a mayor or a president or a senator or the Supreme Court. He's talking about the high places that are a geographic place. Remember we looked at that verse that said, and the King James put places? And some Bible says heavenly? Well, there's a reason why it's places on there, because of the fact that you got to know where it's at. And he's looking at scriptures. He's referring to the heavens. And spiritual weakness in high places, he's just talking about all those non-commissioned officers out there. All the grunts that are doing the job is referring to all the creatures out there in Satan's kingdom carrying on this program. Listen, if there are spiritual weaknesses, where it say?
In high places.
Where's the high places at? It's not on, like you said, Supreme Court, President. It's in the heavenly places. And there's spiritual weaknesses up, wickedness up there. And you're like, how in the world can that be? I thought God was there. What do you find out? There's three heavens, guys.
First and second.
Yes. It's all creatures carrying out his program. They're just doing daily tasks, cleaning out stables, greasing wheels of chariots, feeding horses, doing all the rest of the stuff that has to be done. Then there's one more, every name that is named. And if like Ephesians chapter 1. And this is kind of hard if you think about it, because what would that be? Every name that is named. Could it be like special people? You know, heaven people, special forces, if you will, cherubims, you know, those angelic creatures that have special functions. Every name that is named. So they're out there doing things. They got its function out there. And they're carrying on special functions. And the last two just sort of fills up everybody if you think about it. And that is a power structure. And if you can understand that thing and get that compensation and study scriptures and dig out what we're sharing, it's what about to happen. It's going on in the heavenlies. And you know, if you understand the heavenly work out there and they have a function, they're still out there functioning, guys. And when the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses that heaven, He replaces that with the body of Christ, and you're still going to have a function out there. Mm-hmm. See? He's got a government out there. He's got a government here, and He cleanses that. And when the fullness of time comes in, He makes that known. And it's going to operate to the glory of God for eternity. Amen. You know, we got positions to fill up. You had positions here, whether it's in workplaces and all that, steel mills and school systems and nursing. You got positions. I was listening to my son and listened. Well, I just trained a guy that spent 24 years in the military. He's an E-9, furthest you can go. And after a certain time, you have to get college. By the time the E-9, you got a master's degree. You done spent 24 years in the military too, you know what I mean? You don't get rank unless you get knowledge, schooling, stuff like that. They just don't give it to you. You have to make grade. So you think about that function there is the same as here. What are you doing with this doctrine? Well, how you're adapting this doctrine inside of you to make you perform what here on this earth as if you're already in heaven. And notice, 6:12, in the light of what we've been talking about, Ephesians 6:12, there is a real struggle. There is a real power structure out there that you have an impact upon. And it's just not impacting your neighbors or your co-workers. It's that and more. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. Against human weakness. But we wrestle against that spiritual organization of the adversary. You might say, wait a minute, I'm not up there yet. What's that got to do with me? I'm still down in here. How can I come with personal hand-to-hand combat, what it's talking about, with creatures that are up there? You ever thought about that? But the thing is, you have an impact up there right now. That's what the deal is. And the answer is that they're behind-the-scenes battling going on to learn about the Word of God that you and I are designed to have an impact upon. And the issue is of that angelic conflict. They're battlings up there. They're jockeying for positions. They're like, oh my gosh, Tom's going to get my job. You know, Benny's going to be up here soon. You with me? And they're up there fighting and struggling and conflict going on. You remember, I got a few more verses I'll share with you. You remember back in when the Lord said in Job 1 when He held the court and the angels of God came and they appeared before God. Who else came?
Satan
came. And the conflict going on between the Lord and between Satan, and they said, and Job was serving the Lord, right? Serving God. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? And the Lord pointed out Job and challenged Satan, his purpose and policy and his program and his ideals by saying, look at Job. Job's serving God. He looks at Satan and said, look at Job. Consider him. How would you feel? I guarantee you right now, Satan's saying, I'm considering you. I have considered you. I've got you in my sights. I've got people on you back right now. I've got to, and you think about that. Just look, and Satan began to accuse Job and began to accuse God. And there is a contest going on. Get you to stumble. Get you to fall. Get you to do things not in moderation. You know? To be a stumbling block. Why? It's impacting the heavenlies up there. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 right quick. Ephesians chapter 3. I know what you're thinking. Ed, go on vacation again. I need a vacation. So look, Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 9. What's Paul's purpose in life and his goal to make what? All men to see what is the fellowship of the mystery. His goal is to have men to see this wonderful fellowship we have in Christ Jesus. And the oneness, the sharing together of all that God has given us in Christ, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created how many things?
All.
By who?
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Here's why he wants all men to be seen. Verse 10. To the intent that now, not just the eternal future, but now, unto the principalities and powers, where? Heavenly places. He wants those principalities and powers in heavenly places to know something. Now, who's up there? Not only his angelic beings up there that had fallen in a trap, but God's saved angelic beings are still up there. What does he want them to know? There it is. Let's hear that louder. Okay. How's he going to know the manifold wisdom of God?
See it in action in the body of Christ.
Where are they going to know it at? She said the body of Christ, but we're at down here. In the what? The church. See, your church, our church, needs to be preaching this truth day in, day out to make a difference in the heavenly positions. See, not just running around here, you know, joining hands, singing Kumbaya, and eating pop luck. Get those things in your mind about the angelic observation, guys. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says, "For I think that God has set forth us apostles last, as it was appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to the angels, and to the men." Now, what's a spectacle? Spectacle, thank you. What is that? Something to be seen. So we're down here, almost like a circus or a gladiator event. Was there
a
spectacle out there amongst the people around the arena? Mm-hmm. Yes, you saw that. And Paul is saying, as sure as the world is watching, and as sure as the men are watching, the angelic creation is watching. I picture this all the time in my mind, thinking, these angelic creatures have never seen the dispensation of grace. At a beck and call, they would came down here and killed thousands. With me? They're ready. And now they're looking over the realm of creation up there and looking down at the world and seeing what God is doing in the manifold wisdom of the church, the body of Christ, and going, wow, that's what grace is about. I believe they knew. They've been taught grace all their, you know, creation life. But some of us like to be put under law, don't we? You know? And some of us have been put under law and are like, no, you don't want to do this. God told the Israelites, let me do it for you. And what they say? We want kings, judges, laws. They say, okay. But look at, they're looking over the rim going, wow. In verse 10, chapter 11, verse 10 is dealing with a problem at the church in Corinth and dealing with some bad attitudes there. They're having about some things that they were supposed to do. And he tells them in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, Paul's telling, for this cause ought a woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Now, if you're married, what's supposed to be over your head? Come on, guys, we went through this.
A frying pan.
A frying pan. Not over the man's head, over the woman's head. A cover. What kind of cover is it?
Hair.
Not only hair, but what is it? It's the husband. Okay? The husband is the cover, and then what? Then the hair. Okay? Okay, and there's a reason for this, guys. Listen, I've been around the world twice. Well, halfway around the world twice. And all places in between. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Easy, Sari. Just start playing that song soon. But look, they're watching, and they see the church, the body of Christ, and the members of the body of Christ submitting themselves one to another in fear of God. And they see the members of the body of Christ walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And the mark of being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5, is submitting ourselves one to another. So he's talking about women there is in submission. And I believe the woman's hair is their glory. That's what the Bible says. And there's a reason for that. I've been going down a road. Dan may testify this. And you look down there and you see this, you're getting ready to pass a car or a truck. And you see this long hair. You know. And you see it's silk shiny. And he's like, wow, that's nice hair. And in your mind you're picturing a woman. And you get by them, and it's got a beard. Okay? Listen, angels like that type of stuff, and you don't think they don't. Okay? They do. That's why the world's what way it is right now. Okay? They're tricking people's mind to think you this way, you're that way. So you got to watch this stuff. When you're submitting ourselves one to another, it is submerging our own interests and getting our own desires out of the way and lifting up the Lord and lifting up the work of the ministry and saying, this is what counts. Okay? This is what's real. So when you're in a church, you're worrying about what he's doing or how he's doing and how you're feeling and all that. And that's what counts. And that's what Paul is talking about here. When they see this manifold wisdom of God, they're watching that. They're watching that. And you know when he says about a woman should be subject and have power on her whole head, it's not just having a happy home. Okay? It's not just getting along with her spouse, but because of something far and more reaching out there. Those things will happen. But those things, what he's talking about is the focus on us and our happiness and what's going on and why we're doing that and not forget the program of God that we're in. See? That's why you submit yourself one to another. And the ladies, when you live your life as the wife that God made you to be and the mother that God made you and a function and a position that God would have you, that is a glorious thing to God. I watched, seen a Facebook post on a guy that's friends of Josh. He goes, I'd love to find a woman that loves Jesus, would love me like Jesus loves me. And I'm thinking, how do you reply to that?
A woman that loves God more than she loves me.
Yes. There you go. She loves God. She loves Jesus Christ more than she loves me. And in doing so, what does she do? She loves little old me. You know, God help her. I'm serious. Guys, we know what we're talking about. You know, there's some things, you know, I thank God for my wife every day. You know, the little things she does. Not burning my biscuits. Well, I like burnt biscuits. Yeah. Not burning my bacon. I like burnt bacon. Not burning my salsa. I like bacon. But, you know, things like that. But you must have the eye of faith to be able to see that. Not the mind, but the eye of faith. A couple more verses, guys. 1 Timothy 3:16 is speaking about the church. Look at that. 1 Timothy 3:16. You should have this underlined by now. 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how they oughtest to behave thyself in the house of what?
God,
which is the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth." You know what the church is? That's why you fly a flag. You fly one flag of truth. And if people in your community, in our community, want to know where truth is, they know where to come. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Where is He manifested in the flesh at, guys? All I know, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's manifested in the body of Christ today. I shared with that guy. I said, you know what? Because he talked about people's dressing in church. You know, he said, I think you should dress up in church and stuff. I'm like, I said, I dress up. I said, but I ain't going to force anybody else. I said, just don't show up in your bathing suit. You know, that type of thing. I said, where's God live today? In the hearts of the believer. You're the temple of God. Okay? God is manifested in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Scene of angels. Who is scene of angels? What are we talking about here? He's talking about the body of Christ, guys. Preached unto the Gentiles. When was Jesus Christ ever preached to the Gentiles if this has to be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You with me? He's preached to the Gentiles now. Mm-hmm. Believe on the world. You preach it, they'll believe it. Received up in glory. When are you going to be received up in glory? Catching away. He is seen in the church, the body of Christ. The angels are looking down, witnessing. The satanic ones and the godly ones are looking down and seeing the manifold wisdom of God. How does that make you feel right now? Not too worthy, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't shine my boots today. Yeah. It ain't that type of stuff. You know that. It's the doctrine. 1 Timothy 5:21 is the wild passage that says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observest the things which without preferring one before another, doing nothing but partiality." By partiality. Do you know whom the elect angels are there? Let me ask you this. You ever done something somebody call you an angel? Angel saved me out of that car wreck. Angel stopped me from going in that liquor store. Angel stopped me from beating my wife. You ever hear that thing? That's not them. The elect angels are the ones that did not fall with Satan. You with me? What does election mean? Remember when we went through Romans? Chosen to do what?
Serve.
To serve. Esau have I what? Jacob have I loved. Esau have. All the people goes crazy. The Calvinism? Go crazy over that. What was Jacob loved to do? Why did he love Jacob? To what? To serve. He was chose to serve. And if you understand that Satan's developed and began to merchandise a policy of rebellion against the Almighty God, God stepped in, and how did He stop the rebellion in heaven? We talked about the gap fact. A lot of people call it a theory. I believe it happened. Between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, there's something catastrophic happened in the universe that created God to judge the universe. Okay? Because when He created something, I believe He creates it perfect. Did He create Adam perfect?
Yes.
Yes, He did. So something happened out there that caused God to flood the universe. And I believe Satan's rebellion, and what did he do to stop that rebellion? Created hell for devils and his angels. He never did create hell for you and I. Ever. But he has enlarged it. because there's some rebellious people out there, aren't they? Mm-hmm. We got family members that are rebellious. You know, rebellious towards the doctrine and being salvation. They can still be saved and be rebellious, right? Mm-hmm. Once they do that, God needs to deal with them. You still love them for who they are. Mm-hmm. And you say, in the back of your mind, you might be thinking, God's going to get you. Yeah, God's going to get you one day for being that rebellious husband. Yes. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.